My name is Maddie Pierce, and I'll be reading an excerpt from a fiction piece that I'm currently working on in first-person narrative. His lips were pale blue. The chill of the evening air did not escape the hallowed hall he had stepped into as a means to evade the harsh winter air. Bones fragile and breaking beneath the weight of his lofty uniform, he deigned to step from the warm security of his coat and greet the world of my Cincinnati. I felt drawn to him, wanting to breathe the same air that filled his delicate lungs. It was his eyes, a dark, penetrating blue that stuck like a knife to the heart. I wasn't the easiest person to be swayed, but something about his demeanor set my heart fluttering. The war had ended several years ago, but he wore his uniform like a purple heart, signifying to the world that he was a man whose defining experience lay in a past life of courage and valor. This pride grasped his hollow cheeks, which were drawn tautly around his elongated face. He glanced in my direction and just as subtly looked away. He had no intentions of making acquaintances, so it seemed. The snow that clung to his hair dripped without consequence, pooling on the scratched wooden floorboards and reflecting the dim lights that hung harshly from the ceiling. He moved towards me, looking beyond to the smoke-filled parlor, where the lonely and the daring sulked in all their splendor. He coughed hesitantly into the crook of his arm, indicating to me that he did not join in the communal smoking that occurred at such events, but rather kept to his senses and preserved his overwrought lungs. With an air of uninhibited confidence, he stepped to stand by my side, paying me no particular attention, but looking at the crowd gathered with disapproval and scorn. His neck bore a scar that stretched from the tip of his right ear to just along his Adam's apple. It stood starkly in red, burning with a passion that could not be quelled by any natural means of healing. As I stared, my fingers began to intertwine with his until they overwhelmed my feeble hand. He looked at me with those penetrating blue eyes, and before I knew it, the snow was falling around us as he glided like a swan upon the water through the streets of Cincinnati, pausing under the street lamps to reacquaint himself with his surroundings. We ambled towards a quaint cafe perched on the corner of a cobblestone street. A flickering coffee sign greeted us with hesitation. Like any gentleman, he opened the heavy door to permit my entry. Yet rather than watching for my safe passage, his attention was beheld by a soiree occurring inside of another bar across the road. The laughter of partygoers died away as we seated ourselves at a table adjacent to the counter. An old man of feeble stature slumped on a wooden chair to our right, giving no indication that he was aware of our arrival. The waitress took her time getting to our table, obviously irked by our impromptu interruption. I watched her sway back and forth as she began placing our order, her movements awkward and strained. By the time my eyes had returned to my companion, I found his penetrating eyes gazing back at me. Goosebumps ran up and down my body, making my dark hair stand starkly out against the pallor of my skin. My heart, already on edge, shattered when a crackled voice rose from his being, awakening something inside of me that yearned to be released. "I've missed you." The scene of our first meeting still stood boldly in my memory. That day, the streetcars bounded down the curved roadway, with the nostalgic metal-against-metal sound that reverberated off every surface in sight. I seldom chose to meander into this part of town in the afternoon, seeing as the heat of the sun upon the nape of my neck and the loud bustle of city folk caused an unprecedented amount of anxiety to overthrow my perception of the world. Yet I had been sent on a mission by my mother to acquire a range of different products from various stores. The list read as follows. Diapers for Lisa, another replacement gift for Aunt Egret, bread, coffee, the strongest you can find, a pair of small shoes for Silas. In lieu of babysitting for my twin siblings, my mother had hastily assigned another task to ensure that I was adequately contributing to the greater good apparently being limited to those in my household. My mother, though particular and with a sharp temper, always permitted a reward for completing such menial tasks. Enclosed in the envelope of coins she had placed in my care lay a dime that I may spend however I wished. Reeling from the day, I crossed the street in pursuit of a cup of coffee. My parents denied my request to join in their daily beverage, arguing that my age group need not be filled with bitter caffeine to fuel their mischievous endeavors. Yet as the blaring sign repeatedly blinked brightly red, defying the sun, I couldn't resist entering into its depths and professing my new adulthood. The door rang as a man exited the cafe, and I took the opportunity to slip in beside him, cowering under his lofty height. The regulars were sprinkled across the counter, some chatting with the waitresses while others remained absorbed in their own reflections. I read the menu despite my choice being obvious upon arrival, as the elaborate sketches of food items had obviously served their purpose by absorbing American customers, who often slicked with their eyes rather than their stomachs. I had chosen a table for two, the smallest available in the room. A waitress came over with a spring in her step, smiling brightly at me as she pulled a pad of paper from her apron. "What can I get for you, honey?" she asked, licking the tip of her pen before looking up to confirm a necessary reply on my behalf. "Coffee, please." "Anything else, sugar? Something to eat? We've got the best cinnamon buns in the city. And I ain't just sticking to the script," she said, patting her round stomach with a hearty chuckle. "Thank you, ma'am, but just the coffee will be fine." I didn't quite know how to react to such light-hearted witticisms. "Call me Gina. My mother's still alive, so I ain't a ma'am quite yet." Her last few words were said as she walked away in a raised voice, forcing the reflective crowd to turn in my direction scornfully. Gina arrived in a short few minutes with a steaming pot of potent coffee and a plate displaying a pastry covered in white melted sugar. "Little thing, you could use a few pounds to beef you up. Get some curves going. Send some boys' hearts a-racin'." She winked almost as if to herself. She poured the coffee into a mug that had a red heart painted on its side, giving me another wink as she turned the heart to face me. "Give a shout if you need anything, sugar, okay?" I grasped the hot drink in my hand for a moment, comforted immensely by the wisps of evaporating water rising up to greet my nose. I closed my eyes to take in the silky aroma of the ground, watered beans, grinning as the smell tickled the tiny hairs in my nose. As I slowly brought the mug to my lips, a figure walked through the door that had remained closed since I had arrived. Absent-mindedly gulping from my cup, the scorching liquid dribbled down my chin, searing my skin before dropping onto my baby blue blouse. I muttered to myself, grabbing a napkin from the middle of the table and wiping away my horrid mistake. Breaking tool rules at once, drinking coffee and staining my church attire, meant a difficult evening was inevitably in the cards for me. As I furiously scrubbed my chest to remove any trace of the substance, a figure walked slowly in my direction. Red-cheeked and petrified, I glanced upwards to meet the witness to my unflattering act, like a knife to the heart.